And this morning, I feel like we ought to look here in Luke chapter 23. And before we do anything else, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you today, Lord, for the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, thank you that we got up this morning and was able to see another sunrise. Thank you, Lord, that I heard the birds are singing today. Lord, spring's right around the corner, a time of life as we see the trees beginning, earning to put out the buds. And Lord, as the earth begins to groan, for life is beginning to spring forth once again after a long, cold, dead winter. Life now is breathing back into the vegetation, into the plants. Father, creation groans that one day it shall be made whole. Father, we're looking for the coming of Christ. May it be this year. Lord, as John prayed, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I need your help today, Lord. I stand here as a needy man. I stand here, Lord, as a messenger. God, I have nothing to give. Lord, I need your help today, so I pray for that, Holy Ghost of God. May you take the feeble words that we try to speak. May they be thy words that will pierce hearts. Lord, we'll commit this service to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. With your Bibles open this morning, Luke chapter 23, verse number 33, one verse of Scripture. The Bible said, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Thank you, my friend. You may be seated. Bible said in Luke chapter 23, verse 33, they call the place Calvary. That's the only time that you find that word mentioned in the Bible, Calvary. Or you'll find the word Golgotha. But the only time that you find the word Calvary is mentioned here in the Gospel of Luke. This morning I want to try to preach a little while on that subject about Calvary. The Bible said there then in verse 33 that when they came to that place, that they crucified him, the place of Calvary. They said that there was malefactors on right side and one on the left. I was reading this week about the crucifixion. I was reading E.W. Bullinger, who lived back in the 1800s, and I guess I'd never really thought about it until I was reading, but he said, we always picture Calvary as only three that were crucified that day. But according to what he wrote and some study that he had done, there were many malefactors crucified that day. One cried out for mercy and one did not, but there were several others that died the day that Jesus was crucified. Calvary stands as a dividing line in our pages of history. Before Calvary, it is B.C. After Calvary, it is A.D. Calvary is a dividing line. It makes all the difference in all the world for everyone. Back in the mid-1960s, there was a young man leading the music in a church in Anderson, Indiana. He also was teaching high school English. In the services at the church where he led the music at, there was a big man that would come. Miss Joanne, if you'll maybe get yourself to the piano, I may sing something for you here in a minute. There was a big man that come to the services there in the church in Anderson, Indiana. And to look at him on the outside, you would think that he had it all together. For he had a booming bass voice. He was a talented man, a son of a preacher, had a music ministry, and was a witness of the Lord. However, what you did not see and what most people did not realize was that this man had a very, very bad temper. His wife and his children were the targets of his anger. At church, he was one man. At home, he was entirely another one. And his wife and children became very fearful. Their house of love was replaced with a house of fear. When their daddy would come home, the children would run and hide. They were afraid of what he might do to them. Finally, his wife, Laura, could not take it any longer. She packed her bags along with the children and left him a note. Said, "I cannot take your temper. I can't take your outburst of anger any longer. And I'm moving out. I'm leaving you." Crushed, devastated. He came to the point that he thought life had no more meaning. He figured that he'd just go ahead and end it all. He loaded a revolver one day and put the gun to his head, but he could not have the courage to pull the trigger. Instead, he laid the gun down, weeping and crying. He fell to his knees and begged for mercy and cried out to God. And he said, "Oh God, I've failed you, and I've sinned, and God, I need your help." You see, on the outside, everybody thought he was a wonderful Christian, but on the inside, he was just being eat away. And he finally said, "God, I need you. I need you more now than I've ever needed you." And God heard his cry. Aren't you glad that when you cry out to the Lord, he'll hear you? Amen. And he heard his cry. And through the help of the Bible and through the help of other Christians, he began to put his life back together. And he met with his wife. And he begged her. He said, "Laura, if you'll just give me another chance, if you'll let me come back, and let's start over again, and let's just, we can make a go of this." Reluctantly, she allowed her husband back, and when they came back home, he began to realize that even though she had forgiven him and the children had somewhat forgiven him, there was still looming in the back of her mind, as well as the children's mind, that they're afraid that their daddy would revert back to his temper again and would hurt them. And she didn't trust him. He said, "Laura, here's what we'll do. We'll sell this house and we'll move to another one. We'll start a new life together. We'll get away from all the bad memories." And so, as Doug and Laura began to pack up their belongings, his little girls, three of them, as he would walk into the house, remembering what their daddy was like before Jesus changed him, they would run and hide. And as they were packing their belongings together, his youngest daughter ran, hid behind the door. And weeping, he walked in, and he pulled his daughter to the side and put his arms around her and said, "Honey, don't worry. You don't have to be afraid. We're moving to a new life. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore." The man was Doug Oldham. Bill Gaither put it to song, to words. "Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. As the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Then we went back to the house where we used to live. My little girl ran and hid behind the door. I said, "Honey, you don't have to fear. You've got a new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not
the dead I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Sing it with me. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Amen. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Calvary makes a difference. Would you notice there this morning, as we try to preach about that in the next few minutes, there are four things that I want to give you. According to what Doug Oldham wrote in that song, Bill Gaither put it to music. But first of all, would you notice, please, back in Luke chapter number 23, the Bible said in there, the place called Calvary, Doug Oldham would say, I'm not the man I used to be. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 15, he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm glad, my friend, when you come to Calvary and you meet the Lord, all things are passed away and all things are become new. I'm glad that God gives you a new set of desires. He gives you a new walk. He gives you a new talk. He cleans up from the inside out. What man cannot do, Calvary can do it. Amen. He'll knock the beer out of the refrigerator. He'll knock the pornography out of your life. He'll clean your tongue up. He'll clean your mind out. Calvary will make a new creature in Jesus in you. He did it for one. He'll do it for another. Calvary makes a difference. It's not by turning over a new leaf. Some people say, I want to turn over a new leaf. I want to make a new fresh start. Friend, what you need is to go back to Calvary, plunge beneath the blood, and be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. And Calvary will make a difference in the way you talk. It'll make a difference in the way you feel. It'll make a difference in the steps you take and the places you go, the things you watch. Calvary will make a difference. Not by changing my ways. I can try to change my ways. I can join every organization there is known unto man. There's some folks today that say, I've got a drug addiction and I've got an alcoholic addiction. I've got this addiction. Friend, Calvary will clean you up from the inside out. It'll make a new creature in Jesus in you. Calvary will do it. Not by going to church, but it's by being saved, washed in the precious blood. It's by going to Calvary. That crimson stain, that blood that flows from Calvary's hill. When you walk up to Calvary and kneel before the Lord Jesus and say, by faith, I've been to Calvary. I've walked up that hill. I've seen him hanging there. He died for me. Calvary will make a new person out of you. Calvary makes all the difference. Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to Calvary? Number two, we have the courage to go on. Beloved, when your strength is almost gone and you feel like you can't go on another step, when you feel like you're ready to throw the towel in, consider what Jesus did for you. He went all the way. He walked up Calvary's hill alone. When he fell beneath the cross of Calvary, he didn't give up. He didn't stop, but he went all the way up to Calvary. When you feel like life is not worth living anymore, consider him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and verse number 39, the disciples, one had gone out to betray him. One had sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Peter had backslid and cursed and said he doesn't know the Lord. And Jesus, though in the Garden of Gethsemane, he fell on his face. But the Bible said that he went a little further than the rest of the disciples. They stayed at the uttermost part of the garden. But Jesus went all the way into the Garden of Gethsemane and fell on his face and prayed unto the Father, let not this cup, he said, let this cup pass from me, not my will but thine be done. Beloved, he went a little bit further and consider him when the going gets tough and when it gets hard to get up in the morning, when it gets difficult to put your clothes on, when it gets tough just to keep going, consider that Jesus went all the way to Calvary. When your strength's almost gone, consider him who endured the contradiction, who endured the mocking, who endured the spitting, who endured the cross of Calvary. He paid my sin debt. Thank God he didn't stop at the base. He didn't stop on the way up, but he went all the way to Calvary. When you're just about ready to throw the towel in, when life has no meaning, consider him. Calvary make all the difference. Number three, that because of Calvary, we've got the assurance of God's mercy. The Bible tells me the wrath of God is used in the Bible 10 times. One time in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. 9 times in the New Testament. The Bible says that God's wrath is revealed against sin. My friend, may I tell you that there is a holy God in heaven. Some people say if God is a God of love, if God is a God of mercy, if God is a God that loves us, then why would he ever allow anybody to go to hell? The truth is, my friend, that a person makes that decision, either heaven or hell, the choice is yours. Jesus went all the way to Calvary, died for your sin, but if you reject the free gift, there is no other place but hell for your soul to spend eternity. But thank God, the wrath of God, it says, that against is revealed against all ungodliness. And the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Calvary, my friend, was a lightning rod. Calvary stood there that day. The cross of Calvary stood there that day as a lightning rod. When the wrath of God came down, thank God it went through the cross, and Jesus took my sin. He took my punishment. He took my hell upon him. He took all that because of Calvary. I can go free today. What a blessing that is. The wrath of God. Thanks to Calvary, I have mercy. I don't get what I deserved. If I got what I deserved, I'd go to hell this morning with my back broke. But thank God, because of Calvary, there's mercy, there's grace, there's pardon, there's forgiveness. Because of Calvary, Jesus took my wrath. He took my sin. He took it all on the day of Calvary. Number four, because of Calvary, we're free from sin's penalty. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 5 that the works of the flesh brings death. My friend, this morning, you live for the flesh. If you die in the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh. But thank God, if you live for the Spirit and you die in the good graces of God, we have a home prepared beyond the shore. Death does not end at all for the child of God. In just a few weeks, we'll celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm glad to tell you this morning that if I go by the way of the grave, if this be the last sermon I ever preach, this ain't the end of me. Thank God, I'll be alive forevermore because of Calvary. Calvary. Because of Calvary, I'm free from sin's penalty. The Bible tells me in James chapter 1, verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. My sins was paid for on Calvary. The penalty of my sin was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that when Jesus cried from the cross on Calvary, look if you would in verse number 34 of Luke's gospel, he said, Jesus then, the Bible said, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he read on, and there he said in the following verses, he cried with a loud voice, it is finished, and gave gave up the ghost. Beloved, that day that he cried, "It is finished," I'm glad to tell you, he took my sin and nailed it to the cross. He took my penalty, nailed it to the cross. He took my shame, nailed it to the cross. And thank God, I'm free from the penalty of sin. No longer do I have to lay my head on it. Listen, I sleep good at night. Amen. I don't have to worry about waking up in a devil's hell. I don't have to go to bed tonight and wonder about where I'm going to wake up in the morning. Listen, for me to die is gain. Thank God. Listen, death does not end it for the child of God. The penalty has been paid at Calvary. Because of Calvary, I don't live here anymore. And Doug Oldham could say, because of Calvary, we can face tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, neither do you. Brother James and I were talking a minute ago. I'll be honest with you. I try to be honest every time I get up here. But this old world is looking mighty grim, isn't it? I mean, listen, you turn the news on and it looks mighty grim. I mean, they can say what they want to. And my friend, may I tell you something? Don't believe everything that comes over the airwaves. Say amen right there. Amen. Listen, some folks today will paint a rosy picture and they'll try to paint a picture for you and say things are getting better. Honey, I got news for you. I've read the book and I know this. Things aren't getting any better. If anything, they're going to get worse and worse and worse, and sin will abound. The love of many is going to wax cold. But thank God, I've got news for you. Because of Calvary, he's coming back for the child of God. He's coming back for the blood-bought children. He's coming back for the church, the bride, the ransom of God. One day the eastern skies will split. He will come again. I can face tomorrow because of Calvary. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry about tomorrow, for I know what Jesus said. And today he walks beside me, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I just don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring sunshine. It may bring gloom. It may bring happiness. It may bring sorrow. But listen, because of Calvary, I can face tomorrow. Because you see, my hand is in the hand of that one that went to Calvary, was nailed, and I'm holding to that nailed, scarred hand. For that nailed, scarred hand will lead me from here to glory. When I come to the edge of Jordan, across that death's chilly waters, his hand will lead me. Because of Calvary, because of Calvary, I can face tomorrow. Because of Calvary, I can rest assured that he knows what I'll face. Because of Calvary, today may be the day he may be waiting on you. Today he may call your name. One day, my friend, he'll look over and say, "Go get your bride." Today may be the day that the Lord Jesus will part the eastern skies and we all go up together. What a day, glorious day that will be when we see his face. Those that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we've been to Calvary. Have you been there before? Have you ever been to Calvary? I'm not talking, my wife asked me. She said yesterday we were riding. She said, "I see where Brother Tom Robinson is going back to the Holy Land." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Wouldn't you like to go with him?" I said, "Well, yeah." She said, "What do you reckon what it costs?" I said, "About $2,500. You know, I'd love to go. But I'll be honest with you. If I don't get to go in this life, I'm going to go in the other one. And when I go in the other one, I won't have to worry about being shot or being held hostage or about them dropping a bomb." Amen. He's a coming back. I've never traveled far. around the world. If you know it, sing it with me. I've never seen the many signs or thrills unfurled, but I have taken the journey of journeys for me up Calvary's mountain, there my Savior to see. I've been to Calvary, I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the witness of His Word. Each day at Calvary, what a thrill of love divine, just to know that the Savior is mine. I walk the Calvary road where Jesus trod. I saw Him hanging there, the Son of God. Through tears and eyes I knelt and prayed, Jesus, hear my plea. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm glad I've been to Calvary. I've been to Calvary, I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the witness of His Word. Each day at Calvary, oh, what a thrill of love divine, just to think, just to feel, just to know that the Savior is mine. Amen. Bow your heads, please, a moment of prayer. Miss Joanne, Miss Bonnie, y'all play that just as an invitation. Would you stand to your feet, please? When's the last time you walked up Calvary's Hill? When's the last time? You know, most of our problems would be solved. Most of our discouragement, our complaining would be solved if we took a trip back to Calvary. I don't know what's in your life today, but I believe this. I believe God in His divine mercy has brought you and me here for this moment, for this time. I would ask you right now to be serious. I would ask you right now that you'd honor the Lord and that you'd say in your heart, Heavenly Father, take me back. Take me back to the spot of Calvary when I knelt and asked you to come into my heart and save me. Take me back to the place of Calvary. All that old temperament, all that old anger, all that bitterness, hatred, strife, whatever's in your heart, it'll go, it'll be gone if you go back to Calvary. It can't stay.